Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, hello, and thank you for taking the time to jump out on this Sunday morning. Get in your online churchness. It's a fantastic opportunity to connect, reconnect. We're excited to be in this series on the Lord's Prayer, and so I get to jump in with episode 2, Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done. Now, to get things rolling, don't trust anything I say unless it comes out of the Bible. We're going to be going through some history lessons today, some backstory on the church, and I plan on saying some horrible things just to make sure, you know, if something crawls under your skin, don't send hate mail until the very end. Listen all the way through. To get things started, my readers out there, if you are logged in to the either the YouTube or the online.church, if you are, and you are a reader, I've got a couple books that I've read through in the summer, and I want to pass them off to you. Jot into the chat area, I love books. And the first ones through, I'll do one for each, the 9 a.m. and the 10:30 service. I've got a copy of Soul Detox that I found. It's a fantastic book by Craig Groeschel. And this Craig Groeschel book, The Winning the War in Your Mind, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. So jot down in the chat, I love books, and I will make sure to get those to the first people in. Your kingdom come. We're heading into this time, 21 days of prayer, taking a look at the Lord's Prayer at the opening of the year. We end off this month with a live prayer gathering here at the church in the fireside room. There is something about that connecting to something larger, connecting to something bigger, that is just, it ignites your soul. And that opportunity for that connection, that communication with God in prayer is a valuable thing that will trigger off something within you if you take the time. We start today, January 9th, doing our prayer devotional, 21 days of prayer. And you can log in to that through the YouVersion app and then head to calvary.ca/devotional to make sure you're signed in. We're going to be praying for 21 days, finishing off with a live prayer meeting. It's going to be a great one. Your kingdom come. Mark 4:30-32. This is Jesus talking. Again, he said, What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Your kingdom come. What is the kingdom of God like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. The kingdom come, and praying, your kingdom come, first of all, requires an understanding of the original position of the kingdom, what God had intended for kingdom, and then putting that back into our lives and our systems. See, we get confused sometimes thinking, what is the kingdom of God like? I don't know did I ever tell you that story of the time he became the chief of police, Dwayne McDonald, but at the time he was Corporal Dwayne McDonald. And it's got to be about 25 years back, and we went on a ride along. I said, Dwayne, can I jump in with you into the cop car? We will cruise the night away. We will bust people. It will be fun. And it was a fantastic evening. So I'm just Joe Blow, you know, weenie me. And, you know, Dwayne is all garbed up, and he's got more stuff on his, he looks like the Batman belt with batarangs. And he's got, you know, his guns and all the fun toys, and he's wearing body armor. And, you know, he looks like this force. We're driving down the street. And Dwayne, using his super copness, says, something seems wrong with this car. And so pops it in the computer. And sure enough, this car was stolen. Dwayne was able to pick out of a car just as we were going through side street. There's something not right there. And sure enough, that car had been stolen. So he says, you want to just like hang around for a bit and see if they come back? Like, that sounds amazing. Yes, let's do that. He goes, okay, I'm gonna call up an undercover unit, and they're going to take one of their undercover cars, and it's just an undescript little jalopy of a car. He's going to park about a block away and keep his eye on the car. I want you to get out. We were in Burnaby, kind of Kingsway and Royal Oak area. It used to be a Safeway back then. He goes, I want you to get out into the Safeway parking lot and just kind of stand over there, and you keep an eye on it from this angle. I'll keep an eye on it from this angle. We'll see if this guy comes back. This sounds fantastic. Okay, this is great. So we're about a half an hour into it, and sure enough, the guy came back. And so I got in back into the car with Dwayne. The car that was stolen drove away, and then the undercover car started following it, heading down Royal Oak. Well, as it's going along, they had a bit of a jump on us because of the time it took for us to get back together. And the car we're going to be going after, he's completely unaware of what's happening behind him. So the undercover car is following him. We're trying to catch up. We're going down Royal Oak. The color plaid just starts. We're just going so fast down Royal Oak. And he's like, you ready for this? I'm like, well, what can I do? Like, what do I get to do? He goes, do whatever you want. Like, you want, when, as soon as we pull this guy over, if he goes, like, starts running, you can run after him if you want. And I'm like, okay, this is happening. I've seen Dwayne before on the show Cops. I know how this goes down. And so I'm just like, my heart's pumping. I'm jacked up about this whole thing. We come flying around the undercover car, and we come flying around the stolen car and cut him off. Lights on. I'm in the passenger seat closest to the driver. So I jump out, and I'm like, hey! You know, and I'm like in there. And then I see Dwayne fly around the corner of the backside of the cop car with his gun drawn. And I'm like, I don't have a gun. I don't have body armor. If something's going down, I'm just a sitting duck. And so I run around the other side of the cop car. It's like we're doing one of them, the fire drill thing. So Dwayne comes out. When Dwayne came out and starts in with, you know, his police lingo, all the freeze and stop, the man literally crapped his pants. The authority, the power, the demonstration of shock and awe, the guy literally evacuated himself. And sometimes we think the kingdom is this blow up shock and awe system that is so outrageous and such, you know, demonstrable blowout power with just such crazy authority. But instead, you're thinking Dwayne, but what you get in reality is Vince. You're thinking amazing, this fantastic, well-equipped thing is rolling around, but instead, you got the guy, you get me. And that describes the kingdom in 1 Kings this way with Elijah. The Lord said, meet me outside. And then there was this thunderous, the crazy windstorm that it said, the Lord wasn't in the windstorm. It's so crazy, rocks were breaking, you know, hitting each other and smashing apart. It said, after the windstorm came an earthquake so violent. But it says, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was this fire, grand, great fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after all those three things, he heard a whispering voice, Elijah. And that's where the Lord was. So you're thinking sometimes that the kingdom is going to come in such a grandiose and powerful way. And you're saying, well, what about me? I'm not that. I'm not this grandiose, larger than life thing. But that's perfect candidate material for the kingdom. You see, saying your kingdom come is saying, God, I put you first and me second. Whatever you have to offer, is fantastic. It doesn't matter. You think, I'm not decked out in the latest and greatest. I don't have my, you know, I don't stumble all over my, or I do stumble all over my words just like that. You say, well, what good am I to the kingdom? It's not about that. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He was in the still small voice. Can you hear me? I'm talking to you. That is the kingdom. So as it moves through into the story, you have to understand the original kingdom. The original kingdom, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I've got my Garden of Eden shirt on today. You got Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and you got God talking with them. And you see, in that scenario, God already had choice baked in to the garden. God's kingdom has choice baked into it. And that is the power of God's kingdom. But it wasn't enough. God himself, as king in that kingdom, Adam and Eve, rebelled against that. The story continues itself through. We find ourselves in the book of 1 Samuel, where we have the nation of Israel all built up, and the people cry out, and it says in 1 Samuel 8, 6, and 7, they said, give us a king to lead us. God, your kingdom, the way that we see you doing things doesn't satisfy. We want a king like the other nations. We want to be like everyone else. This displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, listen to all the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected. They have rejected me as their king. So you have God saying, Samuel, it's not you, it's me. They've rejected me as the king of their kingdom, similar to what Adam and Eve had done. But God said, Samuel, tell them these things. If they ask for a king, that king is going to send their sons to war. That king is going to work their daughters to the bone. That king is going to take a percentage of everything they make and give it over to his friends. Now, that just sounds so bizarre. I can't even imagine a scenario where it's possible that someone in authority over us would take a percentage of everything we made and then give it away in lucrative contracts. I can't even imagine such a thing. But apparently this was God's concern that he told Samuel to tell them. But it didn't matter. They just said, give us a king. Samuel 8:18. The Lord said, fine, but when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from that king, but I'm not coming. And so it's like, what? You heard me. I'm going to give you what you asked for. And when it goes south, I'm not coming. I'm not coming to bail you out. You're like, what? God, I thought, are you caring? Are you a loving God? Why? I'm going to give you what you asked for. And it sounds mind-blowing. That might just set off your sensibilities. 1 Samuel 8:22, the Lord answered, telling Samuel, listen to them, give them a king. Give them what they asked for, knowing full well the end of what that story would mean. See, I see God as like that exasperated parent where it's like Halloween time, and the kid's got a bag full of candy. And the parent says, be mindful of how much you eat. And the kid says, forget, it's fine, I'll be fine, everything's fine, don't worry about it. They go into their room and eat a big bag full of candy. It's like, oh, I feel sick, I feel so gross. It's like, well, I gave you what you wanted. Am I not good for giving you what you wanted? And it messes with your mind. I don't understand all sorts of things. And if you're a parent out there, you can maybe relate to some of those things. Back when I was a kid, I would just put on a hat And it was just a hat, my baseball hat and the hat, and the brim went forward. And that's how it was. And then kids started putting the hat on backwards. And I'm like, I don't get it. Like, do whatever you want. I'm like, are you a sniper? Like, why do you have to have your hat on backwards? It doesn't make sense. I can't keep the sun out of your eyes. Then it was that the hat has to have a sticker. You got to have a sticker on the hat. The brim's got to be straight. Got to have a sticker on the hat. Then you got to have the price tag still hanging off the hat. And I'm, as a parent, I'm lost. I don't know what's going on at this point. I'm like, I think the bag, the hat came in a bag, a plastic bag. You should probably put that on your head too. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And you just get exasperated. And you hit this point where you say, okay, go. Okay, yeah, just whatever. Just be safe. Just live your life. Be safe. I don't care. But I know God cares. But we put him into this corner because of the introduction of that there is more to your kingdom come, your will be done. There's other factors in there that I wanted to get into. Things got to such a mess. We're recorded in Habakkuk 1, 2 to 4. How long, Lord? So the people had their king. They've gone in and out of being overtaken. And of course things are a mess. And we've got Habakkuk the prophet saying, Lord, how long must I call out for help, but you don't listen? Or cry to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. The law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. You got the prophet going, Lord, this thing is just such a mess. Where are you? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. The challenge of your kingdom come and your will be done is the submission of other factors to God's will. So the fantastic question is, why even pray for God's will to be done? Isn't God's will just automatically done? Well, I have a brief little interjection here. You see, sometimes in order to adjust things, there are course corrections. There are kingdom course corrections. Your kingdom come, your will be done. But sometimes God's people have got off the track. We've gone off the path. You see, what happened in the garden is eventually God said, I don't want to do this, but I got to kick you out of the garden. And it's like, what? You heard me, and there's going to be challenges. You're going to, Eve, you're going to have pain in childbearing. And Adam, you're going to have to deal with the tilling of the earth, and you're going to have to work hard all of your days. This is some of the side effect, and I'm going to put up this flaming sword that you can't come back in. Oh, that's got to be heartbreaking. You see, God will press a reset button in a situation to course correct it. Now, we have that choice of, do I follow God's plans and path? Do I allow room for him to be king of the kingdom, or do I wait for the course correction? So it's the, is his will going to be done? Well, there's more to it than that. You see, the flood in Genesis 9, it hit a point where God said, it's enough. Course correct. We have the rest of Habakkuk. I want to read just a little snippet for you. Habakkuk 1, 5, and 6. This is God speaking. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your day that you would not believe, even if you were told. What I'm about to do, you're not going to like it. You're going to be blown away. Let's see what happens. I am raising up the Babylonians, those ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth. You're what? You heard me. Things are going bonkers out there. I am raising up the Babylonians. I'm allowing the Babylonians to come to might. You see, this is in the time of Daniel, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego time of history. But things weren't looking so hot. And you say, well, why would God allow that? He's very clear. What I'm going to do something in your day that you wouldn't believe. Even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. I am raising up the Babylonians. I'm allowing them to come to power, those ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the earth. Would God allow a course correct of history? Absolutely. The entrance of Jesus onto the scene is a course correction. We see in Ephesians 1:4 and 5, for God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. In love, he predestined us. And this is before the creation of the world. God had a course-correcting plan, that things are going to go so south. But not my will, yours be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You as the king of the situation, you as the king of my life, your will be done. You see, the challenging part is that there's layers of will. You see, you have God's will, but you also have your will. And regrettably, you also have my will. What to do when God has a plan for you, but you have a plan for you too? And then your friends and family also have a plan for you. And when others have a plan for you, you have a plan for you. God has a plan for you. You're confronted with this, to be in this place of where are you going to put submission? Are you going to have God's will submit to your will? Because in the Garden of Eden, he introduced that choice. Do you think God wanted Adam and Eve to disobey and fall away like that? Do you think God wanted to flood the earth? Do you think God wanted to raise up the Babylonians? You say, well, I don't think God would want that. He didn't want it. It wasn't God's first and foremost idea. But the introduction of allowing choice, the introduction of allowing other people's will into the situation, so that's where the power comes from. When you choose to submit yourself to God's will, you're saying, God, you are the king. I put you as king over top of the kingdom. Because there's times when I don't know if, like, maybe Adam and Eve didn't even take it seriously. Hey, we just hang out with this guy in the garden and it's fun. He comes for a walk every once in a while. He's got a great beard. Is that what the kingdom is supposed to look like? Because he's not coming in the windstorm, in the earthquake, in the fire. He's whispering to you, will you put me as king? Will you submit? Okay, here we go. Sometimes in the scope of things, there are messes that are made. You might make a mess and you go, oh, I did that. That was my will. Sometimes you get sucked into other people's mess and there's a vortex of mess and you get pulled into it. That's other people's will affects yours. And then sometimes there's course corrections where God goes, I got a bigger plan and I've got to turn this ship around. And that's God's will. You see, one of a fantastic thing and a great example that maybe we can I'll take some input from. The church is God's will, but it doesn't mean that the church is a perfect place. Throughout history, the church has definitely put its fingers in other pies than just speaking God's kingdom to you. The church was involved very much in politics. The church was deep involved in health services and science and education and banking. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, early on in early Christendom, like Constantine, we see examples of the church getting into bed with politics. And this house is not a political entity. We are about a king and a kingdom, and it's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. It would be so crazy frustrating for you to come to this place, and you're not sure, are you hearing politics, or are you hearing the kingdom of God? Which is so exciting, because today is I'm going to use this opportunity to announce I'm running for the Parti Québécois. And I want to use this platform today to tell you about, it doesn't even matter that I don't speak French. It's not a big deal. Baguette, these are the French words I know, and that's going to be enough. You would just be so floored if I used this platform for anything other than the kingdom of God. But there was a day in church history where that wasn't the case. Church and politics were very intertwined. You know, the church had its own military wing with the Templar Knights. The church had a military. So I've been to a Templar Knight fortress when I was in Accra in Israel. And they had a place in the port where they could pull up and bring the gold directly through underground tunnels to the fortress for part of this interconnected banking system run by the Templars. Now, it started off as a protection for people traveling to the Holy Land, and it turned into something that wasn't what the kingdom is supposed to be like. God's kingdom is not supposed to be that. There's a time in history where people like Galileo and Copernicus, they said, we actually think that the sun is the center of our universe, not the earth, which resulted in a day in imprisonment and then being in house arrest. Can you imagine the church being this place that you trust for your soul, that you trust to fill you with spiritual, to just be a tool for manipulation? It's crazy to think that there might be entities that you would trust for information that are controlled by other interests. The idea should just wreck your mind that there was a day where these houses, the church, not this particular church, but in history, where you couldn't trust, where is that coming from? So we expect that this place will always be, this pulpit will always be a place that just tells you about God's word. Now I throw in my anecdotes and things all over the place, but always that this place should be talking about how to remove the stain of sin and make us white again. And speaking of removing of stains, that's why I use Crest toothpaste. Crest toothpaste, 3D white. It's fantastic on your enamel and bring your teeth back to that sharp place of gleaming white again. Just like Jesus' blood makes us clean and white. Oh, this should just be so offensive to you. Oh, it should just wreck your mind, because you know this place is a place where you hear your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not a tool for other things. I did communion last week. Could you imagine if while we're drinking and we're having communion and I pull up? And today's communion is brought to you by Sunripe. Sunripe, fortified with antioxidants and nutrients. Lord, as we take this delicious Sunripe juice made with Concord grapes, filled with antioxidants, Lord, we think of how non-artificial
our relationship is with you. Similar to Dempster's bread, with no artificial flavors, Lord. Oh, do you imagine if you couldn't trust this pulpit to be just the Word of God? You see, things in our world get jumbled and confused and confusing, which is why we push back. Don't trust Vince's words. Go to your Bible. What is God saying? Get in a multitude of people. Find out what God is saying. Pray directly to God. Get with other people and pray. God, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lord, help us draw back just to you. These other voices, these other things, these other wills. Lord, help us put them to the side so that your will is the utmost thing. Your kingdom come. You as the king. And Lord, I submit all of my stuff to be second, third, somewhere down the list. Lord, I submit your kingdom come. Your will be done. The relationship that we get to have with Jesus, he says, there's no other mediator between God and man except the Lord Jesus. There's no person that fills that gap. You need to come in your prayer and devote these next 21 days and these special meetings of prayer and devote these special times to, Lord, let me hear from you. Lord, I put you as king. Lord, your will be done. Less of me, more of you. What do you have for me? What is your will for me? Get rid of all the other voices and focus in on the true king of the kingdom. You see, even Jesus, when he was at the garden, and it was the moments before he was going to be head through the crucifixion story. In Luke 22:42, it says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. God, if you're willing, I don't want to do this. Take this cup from me. However, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was modeling that for us. Lord, if it's possible, take it from me. So you know that it was possible, but God didn't. God the Father didn't intervene that way. Not my will, but yours be done. He is able to do beyond all that we can think and imagine, and of course, he can fix things. Often he just gives us what we want and lets us walk through that course, but he will course correct. God's will means submitting your will and others' will to his will. Praying your kingdom come and your will be done is a bold thing to say in our prayer time. And as we're going through the Lord's Prayer, and when you have your personal time of prayer with the Lord, Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, I put you first. I submit to you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here as it is in heaven. Would you let that be your prayer today? Pray with me. Lord, we submit ourselves to you in every way. We are messed up. We don't claim perfection. Lord, we've chased things that we shouldn't have chased. We've listened to things we shouldn't have. We've got ourselves off track in varying areas. Lord, we turn it around. We course correct. Lord, we put you first. We submit to you. Lord, and we ask for your kingdom to come into our lives, into our relationships, into our homes, into our boyfriends, girlfriends,
spouses, children. Lord, your kingdom be the kingdom in my house. Lord, your kingdom be the kingdom in my workplace. Your kingdom be my kingdom everywhere that my foot would set. Your will be done. And Lord, I submit to be second, third in that whole thing. Lord, we trust you for the increase as we submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.